Da-da-da. You're hanging out in the break room. It's a Thursday. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is currently 57 degrees. Beautiful morning.
Oh, yeah. Balmy.
By the way, we've hit our high, but that's okay. We're not going to get below, like, 45 before it gets dark today. So enjoy the day out there. Mm-hmm. This weekend it gets a little bit chillier, 45. Tomorrow high, 46. Saturday, Sunday will be the coldest of like the next couple of days. Mm. But, you know, still pretty good.
All right.
Not bad. It's Thursday.
Yeah, what's going on?
Which means it's another Tommy Tracksuit Thursday.
Mm.
We missed it last week on account of some technical difficulties.
Yeah.
But lucky for everybody.
How about that?
But Kimmy and I. You can log on to the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube, or Twitch. Check out our live stream to see Tommy's tracksuit for today.
Mm.
And you were teasing this all week long.
Yeah.
Said this was the headliner.
This is my headliner.
Kimmy, would you agree this is the headliner?
It's a headliner.
Okay.
It is a headliner. The thing is, though, with our live stream, you can't see, like,
okay,
the real reason
I want to save
headliner?
I want to save that for 7 okay. o'clock, right, if that's okay right. with everybody.
Yeah, like, sure.
I am surprised he's in such a good mood today.
Because he looks so stupid?
Well, no, because Texas lost last night. And you look like you may be a big donor.
Can you please, for the folks that are not watching the live stream, describe Tommy's tracksuit today?
Okay, so it's like a burnt orange, like, kind, you know, it's his standard tracksuit. It's the color, I think, this time that makes it stand out a little more.
Right, so
it's
white,
it's full burnt orange, and then you have shoes, like sneakers that match.
Mm.
You look like Bevo's handler, the mascot for Texas.
So my wife said my legs look like two rusty pipes.
And then you put your pants on?
Yes.
Bro, you look like a human duffel bag.
All right.
You look like if they were going to do like a modern version of a Native American story, like if they were going to hip it up a little bit, like if they were going to do like Jesus Christ Superstar, but for pilgrims, like you would play one of them. What are you?
I will say I already got a compliment coming in the door this morning, bro.
From who?
Moose down the hall.
That's not a compliment.
So him and I are walking in.
Yeah.
And he does a double take. We're coming up to the door. It's pitch black out, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, he saw me coming. And he says, man, where'd you get that tracksuit? And I said, I get them on Amazon. They're like $40 because I got to check it out. I got to get one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already selling tracksuit.
No, you're doing.
You are a tracksuit influencer.
Yeah.
You're missing your calling.
I think Moose is going to start wearing tracksuits.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, again, like, that's not a thing that you want.
I'm selling, baby.
Okay.
I'm an influencer.
You're not Sean.
Yes, that's influencing.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Didn't even go online yet.
If he can get one person to purchase that tracksuit, I would call him an influencer.
I know a guy with nothing, and he claims he's making money on a podcast influencing.
Don't encourage Tommy to call himself an influencer.
Promo code Tommy Suits.
I like it.
Again, the Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube and Twitch, The Break Room, WCMF on YouTube and Twitch, if you want to check out Tommy's hot tracksuit.
But here's the thing.
What?
They're so effing comfortable.
I hope so.
No, I don't care.
Welcome to the world of comfort.
Like, I
didn't know, we've been telling you about like sweatpants and zip up hoodies for a long time. You're like, no.
I get it. I finally get it. 65. I finally get it.
Carrie Ann rates us on Instagram.
What's she saying? What's she saying? Burning her mouth.
She says, "Burnt orange is being kind. I'd call it old folks diarrhea."
Yeah, because it's like that's a different colored diarrhea.
Okay. We have a long morning that we have to hit punchlines with,
so
we will put your tracksuit aside for a second. But I do want to talk about what people think makes them look cool, what clothes.
Okay.
Because there's a new trend, much like your tracksuit enthusiasm, that, Kimmy, I think is happening with people that are younger than us, because I haven't seen anyone my age doing this.
Okay.
So we know that like thrifting, used clothes, vintage stuff.
Yeah,
has become very popular, right? The Lucky Flea is like one of the most popular places to go here in Rochester to find that stuff. Well, it seems, Tommy, it's taken a step forward.
What are they doing now?
Vintage military clothing has all of a sudden become very trendy for young men and women.
Like guys, guys wore in like Vietnam or Korea?
I know. I don't know if it's
that. How far
that,
back are we going?
I don't know if it's that deep.
Is that
Desert
allowed?
Storm?
So it's not American stuff. And that's where this gets weird.
We're wearing like Chinese, Red Army, Soviet Union.
So there's a couple of stories this week about how vintage used military clothing has become very expensive. And they have some websites where you can go to find it less expensive. And I'm looking at a website right now. It's called sportsmansguide.com. And they sell a whole bunch of stuff for like hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
They have a whole section of used military gear from countries around the world.
Right.
For example, I am looking at a German military surplus used parka for $59.99.
So is it like Nazi?
No, it's got the German flag on it. So
this is like more like after the fall?
I would guess it would be like 90s.
All right, so just
90s, 2000s.
New Germany.
Yeah.
Nice Germany.
I'm looking at a British military surplus Gore-Tex waterproof jacket for $70.
That seems cheap.
Yeah,
it seems like it would be a very unique find.
It's all used.
I mean? Yeah, I know, but I mean,
it's still got the bullet holes.
I would almost think because it's used, it would make it way more expensive.
Game worn.
It kind of is. I'm looking. There is a Slovakian military surplus field jacket for $20.99.
I always think like the smaller the country, the louder the outfits.
No, actually, because the loudest one I'm looking at here is the British military one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they have a Czech military surplus camo work jacket, a two-pack. You get two of them for $17.99.
Man, that's a blowout.
So is that a lookalike or is that a real thing?
No, these are all real government surplus. Like, these governments are just trying to make a little money or unloading all the stuff.
But you wouldn't even, if you saw that out, you wouldn't even know it's a military thing?
It's got the flags of the countries on them.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you would have to know what a Czech flag looks like, what a Slovakian flag looks like, what a German flag looks like. No, I mean, it is obviously...
But it looks military.
Oh, it could not look more military. Right. Like, you're going to look like the Czech version of Patton. Patton-asic. So, I can't... You know, you brought up a stolen valor thing. And I think that's where the question starts here. Because, you know, you'd never dream of wearing, like, an American military outfit if you hadn't served.
Right.
That is clearly stolen valor. Is it okay to do it for another country?
Steal other people's valor?
Yeah.
I guess so, because it's not our thing.
Okay.
So what do we care? Well, we only care about our stuff.
So there's nothing offensive about wearing a Czech military surplus jacket, a Slovakian military surplus jacket.
Yeah, I mean, especially if the country's defunct. Like, Czechoslovakia doesn't even exist anymore.
No, Czech, it's Chechnya now. It's the same. They just changed their name. This is Czech.
Oh, all right, Czech.
Yeah.
I guess you can, right? I mean, as long as it doesn't have the medals on it, right? It's just it's basically fatigues and jackets. It doesn't have like the actual medals and crests and all that stuff.
You're right. But I'd
probably avoid it because I don't know how that country sees it. You know what I mean? I know how we feel about it here. I don't know how they feel about it there. So I'm, you know, better safe than sorry.
I would also assume that I assume anyone I see in like military fatigues and things.
Yeah.
Serve. Like, you're just wearing something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're on break.
So, like...
Yeah, because if somebody's going to ask you about it, it's kind of like the name three songs if you're wearing a band t-shirt.
Exactly.
Like you better have some information on that jacket.
What am I going to say? Like, it's a Czech
jacket. Doesn't sound as cool if you know nothing about it.
I'm guessing in passing if somebody asked you, you can make stuff up.
Okay.
Because nobody knows that much about the Czech Republic's history.
That's not true.
What if like the one person that asks you about it because they notice what it is?
Every man over 60 has watched 7 documentaries that involve the Czech
I don't
Czech
know
military.
Nothing.
So I'm looking right now at a Romanian military surplus wool great coat. It goes down to
probably
like
looks sharp.
It looks like something Napoleon would wear. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buttons on each side all the way down. It's double breasted. And it goes down to like your knees.
That's gonna look pretty sharp.
And you can get it right now for only $60.
So it's like an overcoat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like what it looks like what some like fancy like you know commander somewhere would wear. This is insane.
Sounds like it's a good deal.
I mean, it is.
I am shocked at how cheap it is. Like I would think the more unique the country it comes from,
I'm probably
the more
just trying to unload the crap.
But the more expensive it's gonna be.
So here's the best part.
What?
So, okay, first of all, I'm looking at a Belgian military combat surplus jacket. Some of them are just the jackets, and some of them are like these Brooklyn hipster mustache-having 20-year-olds, modeling them.
Yeah. I wonder if they use, like, because it's Europe, right?
So a lot of them is Europe, yeah.
I wonder if they use like, actual, like, fancy designers to make their military stuff. Because I knew, like, in Italy, they use, like, the designers over there to make like the cops uniforms.
Okay.
So they look sharp.
No, I know. I mean, there are some very, very awful armies from the 1940s that had some very, very famous names that designed their uniforms.
I know. Well, don't go back that far.
I'm just saying.
But the 1960s, 70s, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the question. I'm looking at a French same kind of jacket I just described. It looks very chic.
They got any, like, communist stuff, like China?
I don't see any Chinese stuff. Again, this looks like it's almost all military. Yeah. Dutch Air Force surplus parka. Ooh, that looks nice.
Yeah, the Dutch always look sharp.
Oh, okay, now we got some vintage stuff. You ready?
Yeah.
East German military surplus trench coat.
Oh, that's commie, buddy.
$29.99.
That's deep, old school commie.
Okay, it looks like the McGruff the Crime Dog trench coat.
Right.
Would you be comfortable wearing a communist military jacket?
Yeah, you'd look like a spy almost.
Okay, but that jacket may have been worn by someone that shot someone trying to get over the wall.
Yeah, but it only looks cool if you're in one of those smaller cars where the door opens up weird, you know, when they get out. You know, it opens up this way, but you got to get out and you got to, like, really step out of it.
Like, I'll be honest with you.
All those things need a hat.
No, the hat makes you look like you have
a little too far.
Political ideas that not that many people would agree with. Again, we're talking about 252 WCMF, this new trend of surplus military gear being used as fashion for, like, Gen Z kids, Gen Alpha kids. I'm looking at this website right now that is selling surplus army stuff from all over the world. It's mostly Europe stuff. I can get you a Greek military surplus jacket.
Cool country.
There you go. Polish military surplus woodland camo parka.
All right.
I got a West German. If you don't want to go communist, I got a nice West German uniform jacket. That looks sharp. I don't know, man. My biggest fear would be I don't know what happened while someone was wearing this jacket.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and that would really bother me.
But don't forget, when you look at the military, what they say, 10% of the army actually sees action. All the other guys are, supplying chain up to those people.
That's here?
Yeah.
That's not in European countries.
Well, let's just go with that as a general
knowledge. Where
they're
tiny and maybe surrounded by enemies on every side.
Let's just go with 10%.
I'm going to assume the East German one got action in terrible ways.
All right, guy tossed one grenade. You're going to hold it against the guy.
Did you say you knew what year it was from, or you don't really know?
Well, it sounds like you're pretty close to, time period.
It says East German, so that would have to be pre-1989.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before the fall.
That's when the wall came down, 89? Yeah. So, I mean, this could be 1970. This could be anywhere between the end of World War II and
probably still smells like vodka and cigarettes.
I mean, I wish.
Like, every one of those outfits, the guy was a chain smoker.
Yeah, probably.
That was a chain smoking time, man.
It was a chain smoking time?
You know.
It sucks because these are really sharp looking.
I'm saying.
And it is a hell of a deal.
For $70, you get a nice overcoat.
Yeah, really, really nice looking. But yeah, man, I don't think I could bring myself to do it.
You just don't say anything. You just wear it.
No, but I would know.
The odds of somebody knowing.
No, it's not even someone calling me on it. It's like the idea that you'd get the jacket, you put it on, then 2 weeks later you notice a bullet hole in it.
Or like a...
That's pretty cool.
Not cool at all. Did you not see the movie they did of It's All Quiet on the West Front?
Yeah, I saw.
And then the kid gets there's someone else's name is on this, and there's a hole in it. Yes, this is for you. It was made by mistake. Uh-oh. Look, if you want to take a look at this stuff, because it's really interesting.
Yeah, what's the site?
It's called sportsmansguide.com. You just have to go to the military surplus section. Man, there's countries I forgot existed.
So they're no longer.
No, I don't know if they're no longer. I just forgot that they were.
Like African countries or something?
No, again, it looks like it's mostly Europe. Look at this. U.S. military brown beer bibs. If you're a fly fisherman.
What is it?
One of those brown. It's those overalls with the waterproof bottoms.
So that's U.S.?
Yeah. I got you a Serbian police work jacket. That one I don't want.
Why?
He's a Serbian police. No, open up right now. That's why. You know what happens after that? Nobody does.
Yeah.
Never survived. This thing should be a relic of the past.
Yeah.
But you hit it right on the head. It's Americana.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, it's lasted for decades.
Oh, sure.
When it should have disappeared. And this weekend, it will be touring all around Rochester. And I promise you, every stop it makes, there will be a line of people waiting just to look at it.
Well, you have to look.
I mean, I agree with you. But why?
I don't know. Because it combines two things we love.
Okay. You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
What?
Is going to be all over the greater Rochester area this weekend.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, it'll be at the Tops in Leroy. Saturday, the Tops on Jefferson Road in Henrietta. Later that Saturday, Tops on Penfield Road. Sunday, Tops in Ontario. Later Sunday, Tops on Mount Reed. So many Wienermobile opportunities.
Oh, my God, your mom's going to be so busy.
Don't act like you don't want to see it.
And by the way, is that why you're wearing that tracksuit today? Because you look like a human version of the Wienermobile.
Oh, I was given some Wiener last night, buddy. I already did the joke.
Yeah, no, I heard you the first time. All right, Tommy?
Yeah?
Why are we so drawn to the Wienermobile?
It combines two things we love. Bad food and cars.
Okay, first of all, don't call Oscar Mayer hot dogs bad.
I love them, but, you know,
in moderation
with the hot dogs.
I think it's also something like the eclipse. Like, they make you feel like it's only going to come around, like, once in a lifetime.
Okay.
And it
and
represents
then every few
summer.
Years, it shows back up again.
No,
and
it is summertime. Every summer, you
Does
do get a chance.
Does it come every year?
I don't know if it's scheduled
So we're coming into spring here. It was yesterday, right?
Yep.
And the Wienermobile shows up.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
And it's a unique car that's shaped like delicious food. What's not to love about this thing?
Kimmy, can you Google when the Wienermobile made its debut?
Okay.
Because I know there are now several Wienermobiles that tour across the country.
It had to come out in like the 1960s.
I would have thought the same thing, but do we have the technology to make a hot
dog? Don't forget, Detroit was on fire back then.
There is a thing. As stupid as this is, when?
1936.
How did they make a hot dog in 1936?
How cruel. People were starving back then.
The Wienermobile.
Hey, there, Governor. Well, keep working at our factory. One day you can have a hot dog, all right? Here's a nickel for you, son.
The first Wienermobile was created by Oscar Mayer's nephew, Carl.
Carl Wiener.
In 1936.
By the way, Sissy Kid.
Sissy Kid?
Yeah. Oscar Mayer. Fat kids, skinny kids.
What?
He was a sissy kid.
No, that's how old that car is. Tommy had to explain the joke of the Oscar Mayer Wiener song.
Because it described every child
derogatorily. Even kids with chicken pox.
Yes.
Yeah. So
even kids with the plague.
You know there's going to be a crowd for this thing everywhere stops. Uh-huh. Do you think they still give out the Wiener whistles?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
You remember the Wiener whistles,
right?
I thought you were going to make a joke. No,
you couldn't keep them out of your mouth.
Are you aware of what a Wiener whistle
is? Yeah,
they have. Pat Jaffe, the family club. Please turn off your cell phones.
Why did I not see this break coming
this way?
I was all excited
Especially
to talk
with
about
the way he's dressed.
I know.
Well, I'm excited about the Wienermobile.
When I got the Wienermobile breakdown, I did not see the color of his outfit.
You know what's pissing me off? My grandkid comes next week.
Oh!
Because this could have been a perfect opportunity have his picture next to the Wienermobile.
Here's what I'm thinking. You just want your grandkid to use an excuse to go see him. Why? You can go by yourself.
Oh, he's Wiener bait, bro.
Well.
Not like that. The Wienermobile.
If you ever want to see your grandson again, I would never make that statement. Why can't you just go see it by yourself?
Yeah, I can't, man.
There's going to be plenty of guys your age that go alone.
That bothers me.
Why is that weird?
I need a kid. I need a human shield to see the Wienermobile.
I would think the Wienermobile means more to guys your age than it would.
It does.
You understand the importance of it.
I don't want you to see that.
Okay, so as we talk about the Wienermobile, making several stops at Tops across the greater Rochester area starting tomorrow all the way through Sunday.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the person who drives the Wienermobile, it is a full-time gig as a driver slash ambassador for the company. Like, you travel every day, you stay in hotels, you have to find a place to park it. A couple of years ago, when it made an appearance, we were driving into work.
Yeah.
It was parked out front of the Holiday Inn, and I stopped at 2 in the morning and took a picture with the Wienermobile.
So they have to train these kids how to, because it's a unique car.
Oh,
it You have to train. They take it to a training ground to learn how to drive these things because it's so difficult to drive.
The hardest part is parallel parking it between the two bunks.
Suck at the scavenger club. Enjoy your act.
Would that be a cool job?
For a kid, it would be awesome.
Would you? Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right, so travel the country. You're making two appearances a day with a hot dog-shaped car. If right now the man who runs the Wienermobile, you know, they're prepping for coming to Rochester, they call the show, they go, Tommy, we saw what your tracksuit looks like on the Odyssey at WCMF.com, YouTube, and Twitch. You're exactly what we need. We will pay you exactly what you make for your job right now if you will drive the Wienermobile across the country. Would you take that
job? I'm in. Call me Top Buns.
Halfway to the mustard show.
You went silent on my parallel parking buns joke and you followed it up
Top
with
Buns.
That. You followed it up with that. Kimmy, would you drive the Wienermobile for the same money
you
make?
Well, I have some questions.
Okay.
So am I just driving at two locations and then, here you go, everybody, here's the Wienermobile, or do I have... Like, do I have to do something once I get
You got to give
like,
Wiener facts
out. What's my job?
Oh, you got to sell hot dogs.
She's got to give Wiener facts?
Yes.
Kimmy's out. No, I would assume. Like,
you got to talk to the people.
Yeah, you're an ambassador for
but
Oscar
they don't
Mayer
want to talk to me. They just want to see the vehicle.
No, but Oscar Mayer wants you to start selling them dogs.
There are going to be 40 Tommies that have Oscar Mayer Wienermobile-related questions.
Yeah.
Especially now that I know he started in the 30s.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to ask a fleet of or be asked questions by a fleet of Tommies.
But here's the thing, you would get to see.
Because then they're going to start to throw facts at me that I know aren't right, but I got to be polite.
Oh, yeah. when they saw the Wintermobile.
Yeah.
But like you would get to see every part of America. Yeah. Like every part of America.
Yeah.
You get to talk to all different kinds of people, right?
And people are going
to
be pleasant because they're seeing the Wintermobile.
Yes, you're right. You're not going to have anyone that's
okay.
angry.
Right.
Fair.
It's a pleasant day.
It's a fun experience.
You know what? I
don't know how many complaints you're going
to
get.
I went to Tops and I saw the Wintermobile. That's a fun day.
Hold on, though. I mean, we do have discussions on this show where it's nothing but fun, and then we get a phone call where it's like, here's why I hate it. There are probably people in America that would show up just to bitch about the Wintermobile.
Really? Maybe.
Or like an experience they had. One time in 1975, I bought an Oscar Mayer Wiener and had a piece of metal in it. I'd like you to answer for that, please.
I heard they were thinking about going electric with these vehicles.
Electric Wiener?
Yes.
252 WCMF, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile will be making several appearances across the greater Rochester area in Tops starting tomorrow, lasting all the way through Sunday. If you want the information, you can go to Oscar Mayer Wienermobile's website. It's wieners.com. I'm kidding. Do not go to that website because Tommy's already crashed it this morning. Do you think kids are impressed by the Wienermobile?
They'd have to be, especially little ones. Come on, man.
There's
it's
so much.
Cool.
I think they are, but it's short-lived. Like, it's not. They probably don't understand the uniqueness of it.
They can't appreciate it.
Well, that's just it. Like, there's so much.
It's a giant hot dog. Okay, I'm done now.
Yeah, there's so much better technology, and, like, kids' attention spans are so short now. Now I sound like you. Like, I will tell you a story.
They're on their phones.
My dad went to his first Super Bowl, the Bills' third Super Bowl, so 1993.
Okay.
And while he was out in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, the Wienermobile made an appearance.
Oh.
And he got the Wiener whistles for me and my brother, and he brought them home. And
so he takes this lavish trip and he brings you home two free whistles.
Yes. Everything, all the souvenirs we got were free stuff that he got from the NFL walking around.
Right.
But like my brother and I were so excited that he got to see the Wienermobile.
Yeah.
We sat as children in the living room for half an hour while he described his experience standing near the Wienermobile.
And he had been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he went to the Super Bowl. I wanted to hear about the Wienermobile. I saw the Super Bowl on TV. I did not see the Wienermobile.
I would like to think though, like there are certain things, even though kids are probably, you know, to your point, they have so much in front of them right now.
Yeah.
There has to be certain iconic things that a kid could see today that would still blow them away the way I did when I first saw them.
Can you give me an example?
Like a famous statue or a monument.
So like
Mount Rushmore, Statue of Liberty.
I got to think it's going to be something they saw in a movie or was represented in a movie that they'd be impressed by.
But but it's just so impressive to look like the Hoover Dam. Like you look at this thing and you go, it's just a massive structure.
So there were three things that my kids were blown away by that I was surprised by.
Yeah.
The Statue of Liberty was one of them.
Yeah, because
when we went to New York.
Yeah, it's just the way the uniqueness of it and where it sits.
The Goodyear blimp I did not think they'd be impressed by when it went over our house at one time. They were just in awe.
Blimp. Yeah, how often do you see a blimp?
And then the Lincoln Memorial when we went to DC, like they both my kids were in awe of the whole thing.
Right.
But I'm happy that they were impressed by those things, but I didn't anticipate that happening.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's cool that they still had that.
Sure. 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mikey. How are you, buddy?
Hey, morning.
Hey.
Tommy, I know how I can get you to go there, all right? And actually, the funny thing is, right now, in my car, in the little pocket in the dashboard, I have a wiener whistle. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So, Tommy, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I'm not getting it.
I got my mom's old transport wheelchair in the garage. I got an old Afghan. So you meet me there.
Right.
Put you in a wheelchair. I'll put the Afghan on your lap. I get you a drool cup. We'll walk you around like you're senile.
Like you're senile.
It'd be perfect. Yeah, just like you're senile. Not that you're senile now, but,
but
just like
day.
Your prep work. And then you can ask all the dumb questions that nobody will think, oh, look at that man taking his old man father out to see the Wienermobile. It's so sweet. What a nice bonding, you know, and then you could look like a nice human being.
Okay, the only way this is going to work, and listen carefully.
What I got to do?
You cannot change your outfit until you go with him.
No, you're in the perfect outfit.
Right. I'm in.
Mike?
In the Wienermobile fan club.
Mike, hey, man, that was very sweet of you. Thank you for the offer. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Hit me up on Facebook or Instagrams and send me out a message, all right?
You got it. There goes Mike.
He's got the whistle.
He's got the whistle in his car.
Like, it's handy.
By the way, if anyone goes,
because
I don't know if I'm going to have time, I would really like another Wiener whistle.
All right.
I'll put it right here on my desk for the rest of our lives. Until we get fired, that Wiener whistle will live on our desk. The one thing that must suck about the Wienermobile, however,
what's that?
Actually putting it on the highway.
Yeah, I was just looked at how fast it can go, and it can actually cruise up to 70 miles an hour.
That's a fast wiener, buddy.
But, like, think about, you know, if you're on the highway and you were driving next to the wienermobile, it has to be nothing but distraction.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's looking at you.
It's kind of almost accidents
has
probably been in.
Yes, and by the way, it's got to be double the size of a normal car.
People are taking pictures of you, you know, through their window with their phone. Plus, if it's windy. Oh. Like, imagine being out there, like, right now, all those storms in the Midwest, and you're driving this big-ass hot dog down the highway.
Got to handle a windy wiener.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so go. If you, this is your opportunity,
come on, man.
This weekend,
this is spring. Go enjoy.
Go wiener it up, man. The fun thing about food,
what's that?
You can always try something new.
Oh yeah,
but when you don't know it's coming, it can be a little jarring.
Yeah, you gotta have an open palate.
And like when someone you care about or you don't want to offend puts something in front of you you're not in love with,
that sucks.
There are ways to handle it. This is probably not the best.
All right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy, you know Keon Coleman?
Oh, yeah, the new kid.
Yep, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. You say kid. He is still a kid.
Yeah.
Tallahassee, right? He went to Florida State?
Well, he went to Michigan. Oh. Michigan State, excuse me. But he's from Louisiana, it turns out,
all right,
which explains the draw.
Right.
So when you say he's a kid, he is actually a kid, and he eats like it. There was a story that came out last year that said Keon Coleman's pregame meal in college consisted of a trip to McDonald's for two hot and spicy McChicken sandwiches, medium fry, 10-piece nuggets, and an Oreo McFlurry. He would eat this before every game.
Damn.
And he was still drafted to the NFL. But you can't eat like that in the NFL.
No.
Keon recently sat down for an interview and talked about the shock he had when he was invited over to Josh Allen's house for the first time for dinner.
Rich man.
That's right. This is Keon describing that experience.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at this place, I don't even know what this was, the woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you? Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
What Jesus served?
What Jesus?
To the little children?
Fed to the people the little children's books. God, I love this kid.
He's so honest.
I also don't know what he ate.
Fish and bread.
But I said, but it had stuff on it? Had onions on it?
Well, that's what he says, but that's the best part of the story.
Might not have even been fish. Who knows?
This story, this happened a year ago.
Yeah.
And to this day, he still doesn't know what it is.
Right. I don't know.
There was never a point where he pulled Josh Allen aside and was like, hey, what did we eat at your house that night?
But I can also see the panic of being at somebody's house the first time and you feel like you have to eat it. You don't want to ask questions because you don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
But I don't really know what this is. I've never seen it before.
But it sounds like he did. Can you give me that audio one more time? Because it's so damn good. This is, again, Bills wide receiver Keon Cole. Go ahead.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at this place, I don't even know what this was, the woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you? Like, that's what that looked like. I said, man, what is this, bro?
So he obviously has a chef.
Josh, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a quarter billionaire, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Getting away from Keon.
Mm.
There are times where you will go for a meal at someone else's place.
Yeah.
And what is put in front of you is not something you are familiar with.
Or you don't even like.
There you go. When that happens, Tommy, what is the protocol?
You got to muscle through it.
So you're eating it.
Or you pick around it. It's really hard, though, when that's all there is.
Okay. All right, so rule number one, we can all agree in this room, you have to eat that food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to ask questions about the food?
I wouldn't.
Well, you go look ignorant.
Well, that's, I mean.
Yeah, I do want to look like I know what I've had this before.
Okay, but let's talk about this. You know, ignorant is used as a bad word.
Right.
But the definition of ignorant is simply not knowing the information.
Everybody ignorant about something.
Is it wrong to be ignorant or ask questions of food that you're not familiar with?
No. But nobody wants to look it because then you think you look stupid.
Yeah. Why?
Especially if everybody else knows what this is.
Okay.
And you don't. And you're of the age where you should know these things. You look stupid.
But how do I know if I should know if I've never seen this before?
But that makes you look like a hillbilly.
All right. So I guess there's a difference between like fancy food and ethnic food. Because in your scenario, you're thinking this is something that's like high end and you don't know what
it is. That's what I'm thinking.
If I go
European.
Yeah.
Depending on the place.
Yeah. But,
like, let's say I go to an Indian family's house, Italian family's house, Vietnamese family's house, and they put something in front of me. Am I not allowed to ask?
Okay, yes. I think you could if you're with an ethnic group you're not familiar with.
Okay.
You don't think that also makes you look a little, not I think I'd be afraid to ask in any scenario.
Because what you could,
I don't want to offend anybody.
But you could do it in a way where you're like excited. You could play it off excited, curious. Like, oh my goodness, what is this?
This looks delicious.
Yeah. What do you call
Why
it?
Why is it still moving?
I mean, yeah,
and also maybe I don't want to know.
Huh.
Because if it's something unique or something I've never had before, I'm not really sure. If you tell me what it is and now I can picture the face,
okay.
It may be harder for me to just go with the flow and eat it.
That's a good point.
And I may not want to know.
I'd rather be in that scenario than I know what it is and I don't like it. Like, I really don't like this particular thing you put in front of me.
Okay.
And I've got to, what do I do now? Like, I know this ain't for me and I don't want to be rude, but that's all they're serving.
Hmm.
How do you work around that?
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, so we've gotten to the food is in front of you. You have to eat it.
Yeah.
We've gotten to you. Neither of you guys are really going to ask questions.
No.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Stick your fork in, you take a bite, and you know immediately it's not for you.
Yeah, nasty.
There is a whole plate of food in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You sucking it down?
You'd have to, like, muscle through it or fake
a stomach ache.
No, yeah. That's going to be obvious
fake
as hell.
Fake an allergy.
Fake an allergy.
Yeah. I don't know what's in it. If there's some kind of like
one bite. Oh, my goodness. Is there something in here?
Yeah.
One
bite. I've seen it happen. Seen it happen to somebody that has an allergy or they start to eat something they didn't know there were like pine nuts in it or something.
Okay.
They immediately swell up.
But that would have to all fall into place.
I would also have to swell.
You could say my throat's closing. Nobody's going to check.
They're
going to
call the hospital.
Yes.
My throat
does anybody have Benadryl?
So you're going to dose yourself with Benadryl?
I would.
Okay.
If it meant getting me out of eating this plate, I'd take a Benadryl.
What happens when I take Benadryl when I don't need Benadryl? Is that dangerous?
Probably
no.
Don't say probably.
Isn't it over the counter?
Yeah,
I know. But yes, there's things over the counter that you're only...
One little pill
you can take a Benadryl.
Yeah. Are you...
You can give a dog a Benadryl.
I've taken Benadryl.
No, without needing it.
Like, it's one of those things where I thought it could help, so I tried it.
Are you guys any good at muscling through food you don't like? Can you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I mean, well... I'm not very picky. I like everything.
Sure, sure, sure.
There's very few things I don't like. But I'm guessing for a lot of people, seafood is a challenge.
Mm, okay.
Like certain seafoods, people like, you don't like certain seafoods.
I can muscle through it.
But it's not fun.
No, it's not.
Like, let's say, like you couldn't eat any like raw clams or oysters.
No. I mean, if I had to, I could.
Oysters.
No. Oh, God.
Dozen oysters.
Oysters are the... Who invented oysters?
I love them. But that's what I'm saying, like... And they're expensive, so if somebody took the time to shuck those things and serve them to you, like, that's an expensive meal for you to just turn your nose
up. You know, you're right, I would have to eat it, but, like, whoever came up with the idea of oysters, hey, you know what I would love to have? Batch on a rock.
Yeah, I know.
Can I get batch on a rock? Oh, great, oysters? Okay, fantastic.
That was one of the worst McCartney tunes of all time.
Batch on a rock. Batch on a rock. 252-WCMF. Talking about this interview Keon Coleman did earlier this week. He describes the first time he ever went over to Josh Allen's house to have dinner. And Keon Coleman, for those who don't know, is a guy who loves base food.
He's a kid.
Yes, his pregame meal in college was a trip to McDonald's for hot and spicy chicken sandwiches, medium fry, 10-piece McNugget, and an Oreo McFlurry. Kimmy, can you give me the audio one more time just because I cannot get enough of this?
I can listen to that kid talk all day.
This is Keon describing his first meal at Josh Allen's house.
So the first time he invited me to dinner at this place, I don't even know what this was, the woman cooked. It looked like we was eating onions, fish, and bread. I was like, this is like the stuff Jesus fed the people in the little children book. You know, like the little children books they give you? Like, that's what that look like. I see, man. What is this, bro?
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Not bad. How are yourself, guys?
Good, Jim. What do you got?
So I remember as a kid going to one of my parents' friends. They were going over for a dinner, and they said, well, we're having lasagna. And I love lasagna. I get there, and they had veggie lasagna, and I refuse to eat it.
Why won't you eat veggie lasagna, Jim?
Because it doesn't have meat in it.
So you refuse to eat it, like, I'm not eating this?
Yeah, exactly. I did not eat it at all.
All right, Jim, that makes you look low-end, buddy. You look low-end in that spot.
But did you announce that, like, this is not for me, to the people that made the food?
How old were you?
I probably was, like, 10.
Oh, 10.
Okay. Still 10. Makes,
yeah. Still makes I got to give a 10-year-old a break.
Nah, yeah. I think 10-year-old Jim's a dick. I'm sorry, Jim. You seem like a nice guy, but you were a dick.
Yeah, I'm a dick.
Jim, would you eat veggie lasagna if it was laid in front of you today?
Hell no.
So you only eat, you have to have meat with everything?
Yes.
What? Okay.
It's just noodles and sauce at that point. It doesn't seem like it'd be that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheese.
Yeah.
Anything with cheese has got to be good.
Jim, try the veggie lasagna, buddy. Try the veggie lasagna.
Give it a go.
He's a beefaroni guy.
Well, look.
Right out of the can, cold.
Beefaroni is delicious.
And right cold, out of the can.
Cold beefaroni better than you would think.
All right.
Hey, Jim, go get some beefaroni, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
All right.
So this happened to me in a roundabout way when my wife and I were out at these people's houses, and I drink whiskey. My wife drinks wine. Mm-hmm. But they were only serving white wine at dinner. And they poured a glass and put it in front of me.
Yeah.
Didn't even ask. Was there. So what do I do? And the guy's going on and on, the wife, about this white wine. So I pulled a move when nobody was looking. Poured I switched glasses with my wife.
Oh,
so it looked like I was drinking. Big mistake.
Yeah, because there's going to pour you another one.
Nope.
Oh.
It was halfway down. Lipstick stain on my glass.
Oh, lipstick on your wine glass. Told the tale best on the rocks. Oh, good one. Yeah, no, you're a better man than I am because I just wouldn't have drank the wine.
Well, I just switched, you know, because everybody was going on and on about it. But, like, they didn't even ask me if I like wine.
That is the one thing I will not do.
Right, but they were so pretentious. They just said, well, everybody loves wine.
No, I know. That's happened to me a couple of times, too. I'll just leave the glass. If somebody wants it, you can have it. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to refuse it. But, like, I'm not going to drink it.
But then my wife goes, well, you got to do something about it.
Oh, wait, you were there with my Catalano wife?
You got to drink the wine. You got to ask yourself.
It's
why,
weird.
Why are you wearing lipstick?
It's weird you felt that pressure. I'm not going to drink something I don't want to drink.
It was my brother's best friend.
Yeah.
And they were like these rich people, and they were excited us for to meet them.
It probably is hard, too, when they're telling you about the wine.
And
it's not just
people.
Like any wine. This is wine I want you to try.
This guy used a word I never heard of before that I had to Google when I got out of his house. Potentate.
Was that how they prepared the potatoes that night?
I don't know. Maybe so. But he used it. I looked at my wife, I don't know, what's a potentate? And I had to Google what potentate is.
What is it?
Like you're the king of something. Like you're the ruler of something.
You're the potentate?
Yeah, I guess I'm the potentate of something. Who talks like this?
Can't you say king?
I guess.
Sounds like a guy that serves veggie lasagna.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
To a 10-year-old with a glass of white wine.